Vedant, and welcome to season 5 of my podcast. Today, my guest is Kalpana Ramesh, who is fondly referred to as Water Warrior. She is an environmentalist advocating water conservation and restoration. She is the founder of the Rainwater Project and is an interior designer by profession. Hi, Kalpana. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Vedant, and lovely to be here today with you. And I'm also curious, like you, to know what you're going to ask and what conversations we're going to have today.
Yeah, exciting. This is going to be fun. I've interviewed my mother too. She's an architect too.
Right. Designer. So cool.
Yeah. This is going to be fun. So, Kalpana, I'm curious to know, what is the Rainwater Project?
The Rainwater Project is actually the name of a company I founded. It's a social impacting work that we do. It's a social enterprise. The Rainwater Project, the name itself, tells you what is it, what is the company about. So much rain water around us, and we don't care to tap this clean water. We can become sustainable as cities with rainwater. So after working on ground for almost 8 to 9 years as an individual, as an NGO, as working with different organizations, I realized that there has to be some enterprise called the Rainwater Project, because honestly, nobody is focused on tapping the huge potential that rainwater has.
Sometimes I actually like to drink rainwater, but then I realize it's all polluted, and sometimes even I wish that there's a way we can make rainwater drinking water.
It's not actually polluted, Vedant. You can test the quality of rainwater. It's one of the cleanest waters today, okay? And all it has is a little bit dust from the terrace, which can be easily filtered off. And if you want to drink rainwater, you just pass this through a simple UV filter. You don't need these RO filters, which actually, again, waste water. Just UV filtered water. And we've been drinking rainwater for the last 11 years. So you must come home to taste how rainwater is. Like, it's one of the best and cleanest waters today.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's exciting, right? And we use rainwater for many other things. We use it for washing our clothes. When you run the washing machine with rainwater, do you know the clothes come out 10% cleaner? Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And when you take bath in rainwater, right, we actually store a lot of rainwater, about 25,000 liters. So we have like a water bank of rainwater. If you take bath in rainwater, it's so refreshing. I mean, I bet you can relate to that, because I'm sure you stood out in the rain, in the rains, right?
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. I mean, you don't feel that way when you stand under your shower for maybe even 2 hours. Do you feel that refreshing? No. So rainwater has magic.
Yeah, when I was in Hyderabad, I used to just stand in the open sky, and when it was raining, I would just relax.
Awesome. So I'm just trying to tell you what more rainwater can do for us. I mean, it's good to drink. It's good for every other domestic purpose. And do you know rice, which is our staple food as South Indians, it cooks faster than rainwater. These are things we've been doing for last 11 years. And this is wonderful, right? To know. Yeah, it was a revelation for us too.
I'm going to tell my mother to wash our rice in rainwater.
You must actually experiment it, because many school kids, when I go give awareness in schools, is the first thing they ask, isn't rainwater polluted? Is it, do we get acid rain? It happens in a few countries, in some places, not all the time. And how you can make sure that it is clean, by experimenting yourself. I mean, you get the pH meter, you have TDS meters, you may have different water quality equipments that you can buy on Amazon and anywhere. And you can check it out for yourself how clean this water is.
Oh, sure, I'll do that.
Wonderful.
You are a part of the Hyderabad Designs Forum Step Well Documentation Initiative. Can you tell me a little about that?
Working last almost 6-7 years on ground, I have done various things for water, but I came to hear of architect Ashwinth Ramamurthy's project that he's looking at documenting the lost step wells of Telangana. You called it steep wells. It's actually true. Some of them are really steep as well, right? So it was his dream, and we became part of this project with him, where 12 architects and designers got together. We volunteer our time, we volunteer our resources, and we want to put together this book that he is looking at, documenting the lost step wells of Telangana. Why do we call it lost? Because nobody knows about them. Very few step wells are known to people, but just our state of Telangana has more than 550 step wells. Is really an amazing thing to know, because we are in the dry and arid zone, right? So our ancestors thought a lot about storing water. So it's a very fantastic example of how our kings and kingdoms thought of distributing and storing water in such challenging areas where it's arid zones. So it was a very interesting project for me to become part of. So I spoke to Ashwinth sir and immediately became part of the project. And I'm called sort of Indiana Jones in that project, because I go and find these wells. I go to different districts, I go to different villages, I show them pictures and ask them, do you have any such heritage wells in your zone? And, it's very nice that it's been an amazing journey for me, because going and finding these wells, getting in touch with a lot of people that I don't know, mostly strangers, but they offer food to us. They've taken us into forests to show us some step wells. They're so happy to show us their step wells and maybe drive with us to other nearby villages and show step wells. And it's been very, very exciting to be part of Hyderabad Design Forum. I would say this was the beginning of me getting a lot of knowledge about traditional water systems. And as the rainwater project, as a social enterprise, it became one of our agendas to start conserving these heritage, precious step wells that our ancestors left for us. And these wells still are connected to shallow aquifer system, which is like the water distribution system underground. So even if it is dry today, you start feeding them water, they can pull up these shallow aquifer systems and they can create local water security for us. So it was a very win-win thing for me to become part of Hyderabad Design Forum.
It sounds so fun going into so many villages and finding step wells. It must be so fun.
So much fun. And I'll tell you, we'll always find turtles, we found snakes, we found large vipers just coiled up, and because they love water, right? They're all around these wells and not many people go there. So it's mostly in like a jungle and of vegetation and forests around them, because most of them are not kept well, and most of them have even garbage thrown in them, sadly, when it is cities. But when it's villages, it's not really kept well, as in, there's a lot of vegetation and stuff. So it became ground for a lot of these animals and biodiversity to make it their home. So we always find snakes, we find turtles. It's so exciting. It's like, an explorer. I feel like an explorer going and finding these wells.
How many step wells have you found so far?
We found more than, almost close to 200 step wells. Maybe 50, 60 of them are not in a shape to even pull them back. I mean, not even in a shape to revive them, because if they're all collapsed or really there's no point rebuilding them. But there is a lot of hope with many other stem cells we found, about 120 of them, which we have otherwise mapped. Each one of them can be restored, and we haven't even covered all the districts yet. We don't have like an exhaustive list, but we started with a list of 33 stem cells, which the government gave us initially when we started this research, and we've almost found close to 200 wells. It's an amazing fact.
Yeah, so nice.
Thank you, Veda.
Water conservation is so essential, and you are doing so much on it. Why is this issue so neglected by the government and people?
As communities, we initially got our water from, you know, about the Indus Valley civilization and that, there was always habitations around rivers because it was important for us to have water. Now that language, you know, slowly as villages developed and towns developed, then you started digging wells around these water resources so that became your system to draw water for communities, because you started spreading as communities. You moved a little away from the rivers. So you started getting groundwater, but you started digging wells. As the population grew, and slowly when you started digging deeper, because the well started drying up or didn't have enough water because more people started tapping into it. So we went deeper and deeper. So we dug our wells deeper, and then we did what is called the bore well system, where you dug deeper, went through, you know, went down with a pipe and started fixing motors and drawing a lot more water. Right? And we started doing that and distributing this water within the building with pipe systems. And we government also started doing this, what we call today as piped water supply, which comes from rivers, which comes from far off resources. So what slowly started happening is we started getting connected to the tap and the tanker system. And we forgot our resources, which is our rivers, which is our wells, which is our lakes, which are resources, which are our water sources. If wells are dry around the river, if they are not, you know, in a good shape or they are filled up, even the rivers get a lot of water from groundwater. If we don't tap a lot of groundwater around the rivers, even the rivers flow comes down, and then the water in the rivers come down drastically. So we talk about dying rivers today. But most of our cities get water today from 200, 300 kilometers from different rivers, right? So one side we're talking about dying rivers, and another side we're talking about getting water from rivers because our population is growing too rapidly. I mean, we need to cater to the population. So government also has to get water from there. We can't, the government can't say, I cannot give you water. They have to give us water. So, but instead of being sustainable as cities, as in tapping our own resources as cities, we've started looking beyond our cities and going far, far away to get this water. That's where we become unsustainable. So our whole work, transforming from a design studio to a water studio today, the work as the Rainwater Project is really to make our local water security, to create our water security. How do we always take water from these bore wells, but how many of us are responsible enough to put back water? Because water is not an infinite resource. It is a finite resource. So today, with so much population, we should also talk about recycling. We should talk about, you know, safeguarding our precious water that comes from rivers. Also tapping the huge amount of rainwater which comes to our rooftops. We don't pay money for it. It's free of cost. It comes to our rooftops. We just need to make arrangements to store, reuse, or put it back sensibly into the ground. So I feel communities and government are not so connected with this. The government has various other challenges because the moment they try to solve a problem, the population goes up and they have 10 more problems to attend. So it's been like a cascading effect. But if people come together when we are more aware of what's happening with our cities, we will not go back to a Cape Town situation, right? In Cape Town, you get only 20 liters of water per family. And there's army, you know, guys standing there to distribute water because they declared in 2020 April that they have run out of groundwater. If every city should not go to that situation, we need to talk about becoming sustainable. How responsibly we take water from the ground and also put back. So the moment we are connected with sources, all of us will be acting. All of us will be making an impact. But today, we are sitting plush in our homes and we are only connected to taps. If there is no water in the tap, they call for a tanker. That's it. You don't think that there is a resource beyond this. I mean, we are not connected to the source. That's the problem, really, Veda.
In Singapore, I went to this water treatment plant where, you know, when you wash your hands, all the water that goes into the drain, and when you go to the toilet, all the water gets flushed down, where they treat that and put it to a filtration process and bottle it and then sell it.
Yes, absolutely. So the world, our population is growing, so we have to find ways. So I lived in Singapore for a few years and I used to be amazed that how the entire country is thriving. At that point in, around 97, 98, they used to buy water from Malaysia. They used to buy water from Malaysia. They didn't have their own resources. So now today, of course, their water comes from the seas where they do desalination plants. But they're very conscious that every drop of water they use, they sensibly recycle it and use it several number of times, right? And they sort of recycle and keep their water story going. And they do not buy water from Malaysia anymore because they had some political issues and they had some issues where they couldn't get water for a while and they had some challenges. That's when the country realized that they need to become sustainable for water. They started doing a lot of recycling and desalination. These are all stories from the world that we should understand, and we need to know that what happens if there's no water.
What should the government do to help ensure conserve water bodies?
Well, the government, like I said, should start putting light on sustainable cities for water. They should start looking at what are our own resources. Like what we did, Vedant, is as the rainwater project, we also divided the city into smaller blocks and smaller pockets because we can talk to the locals. We can, make an impact. Talking one-on-one with people and trying to make them be the change. So if you take a block, we have wells, we have lakes. We could do a lot of common area rainwater harvesting. We could encourage communities, schools, corporates, malls, hotels, hospitals, all these buildings, I mean, different typologies of buildings, to tap their own. The roof is the resource for rainwater. So anyway, they have pipes coming down. But today, all the pipes are connected to the drain and they are wasted. Instead, how they can take these pipes to their own sumps for water storage, just with simple filtration system, and they can reuse it for domestic purposes. As Hyderabad, we get anywhere from 45 days to 55 days of rainfall every year. So almost 2 months or 4 months, you can be self-sufficient if you store water, and also the excess water that we get due to climate change. If we make all our water bodies clear of garbage, if you desilted them, if you made space in the lakes and the wells, and also, make it a strict mandate with every building to tap rainwater and go zero discharge, not just today we have a mandate with the government that, you should have a rainwater harvesting pit if you're building a certain house or a building, but that's not enough because we only tap a very small, minuscule part of rainwater today as a mandate, but they should make it mandatory that everyone goes zero discharge. Like you manage your rainwater within your property. You're not going to send it out. If that concept is picked by the policymakers. I think that's a big change we are looking at. So we can reduce a huge amount of urban flood. So I'm sure Vedant, you would have seen a lot of videos or, you know, about urban floods in Hyderabad. 2020, we had huge flooding. And even now, 10 minutes of rainfall and you can see rivers flowing on the roads because most of our city is concreted today. So there's no natural drainage of this rainwater. So we need to build these rainwater harvesting structures. That's where, as a social enterprise, we give consultations, we do end-to-end implementation, and also work with public space, projects like well and lake restoration. So yes, the government can do a whole lot, but I think people, today we are 1.4 crore population as Hyderabad. Even if 1 crore people decide to do something good for water, I think we're making huge impact. We can in fact become an example to the world.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, everybody should start just reusing water because only some places do that.
Absolutely. Everybody should. See, it's your responsibility, right? Many people ask me, so why should, if I do rainwater harvesting, am I going to benefit or somebody else? Air and water is a public asset. It's not your water and my water. All of the groundwater belongs to all of us. We put a bore well and tap it and we call it our water. First of all, this concept, you know, that it's not mine, it is ours. This has to come. This behavior change has to come. And also, when every day you're taking water from the ground, it becomes our responsibility to put back water into the ground. But what is that water we put back? Rainwater. Every year we have this much of rainfalls. In fact, we are blessed as a city to have very good rainfall. But we are just sending it through our pipe system to the drains, which is not useful for Mother Earth or us. If rainwater, clean rainwater mixes with sewage, see, something that is good to drink, I told you this, right? It's good to drink and you're mixing it with sewage and throwing it. Today, a 25 liters water bottle in India costs about 25 rupees, which is 1 rupee a liter, okay? So rainwater for a small 1,000 square feet of rooftop can get you about 1 lakh liters. Right? A small house, an individual house. 1 lakh liters of water is equal to 1 lakh rupees. So we're just throwing away resources. We're just throwing away this money, getting it to mix with sewage water. And it's of no good anymore. Instead, we can reuse, we can drink this water, we can put it back sensibly into the...
What can my listeners do to conserve water?
So most of it we've already covered, but what I would say is all of us have rooftops. This is our biggest resource. We have terraces, right? We have water falling on our terraces, just like tray. It is holding all this rainwater. And all of us have pipe system to bring this water down and let it into the drain. Now, instead of letting it into the drain, we can fit simple filters, right? It's called inline filters, or we could make small drum filters. I mean, you can go as innovative as possible. A simple drum, now, you know, a 200 liter drum, you get these blue recycled drums. You can layer it with gravel, coal and sand, and leave half the drum empty and cover it with a filter cloth. Whenever it rains, you connect that pipe to this drum. It gets filtered, and at the bottom of the drum have a pipe that goes directly to your sump, which is your collection point. So either you do this drum method or you put inline filters, which is available on Amazon. It's simply a no-brainer to take this water to your sump, reuse it. But since you're taking a whole lot of rainwater at your sump, it also needs to have an overflow system. This overflow of rainwater, you can connect it to a small rainwater pit that you can make, or you can do a pit around your borewells. It could be your dead borewell, or it could be your live working borewell. You can make a pit around it and put this rainwater in. And this pipe that is a borewell casing, what we call, this can have slots. So in that pit, you can have a filtered medium with, again, gravel, sand, and stuff. Now you can have even modular systems, which we can fit around this borewell. It acts like a collection point for this excess rainwater and slowly gets into the borewell and keeps the borewell water alive even through summers. So we're getting to reuse the rainwater in the monsoons, and we are adding more water to the groundwater system, which can become your resource in summers. The borewells won't go dry if a whole lot of people start putting back water into the ground. This is what all of us can do, because all of us get rainwater free of cost. It's coming to our doorstep. All we need to do is create a system where you can reuse. Like I said, in our house, we even drink rainwater. And then we can also recharge.
What did you want to be as a child? What made you choose to be an interior designer and a water warrior?
Well, as a child, I was very, very connected to flowers and I loved nature. And we grew up in a house in Bangalore where there's a lake just a few feet away from our house. I never knew I would be working for lakes later on in life, but I have enjoyed this lake. It's the Ulsoor Lake in Bangalore. And my dad used to take us to the regattas and, competitions that used to happen in the lake waters. I mean, the defense, the cantonment there, they used to have these regattas and it used to be fun. And we used to go there for walks, watch birds. So I think water and nature was very much part of my growing up. And those days we didn't have malls and movies and eating as our pastime. I mean, nature was our pastime. We used to have a huge rose garden in our home in Bangalore. I used to always collect flowers, and each tree used to have, like, I used to call it a rose tree, because each tree will give some 40, 50 flowers and such vibrant colors. So I think I grew up with nature and colors, and that explains why, I mean, though I studied architecture, I picked interiors. I did my diploma in US for interiors, and I practiced also as a design studio. I'm an interior designer. So colors is something I just absolutely love. Nature is something I love. But how did I become a water conservationist? Well, I was running my design studio once we moved back from US in 2000. But I noticed that, you know, we had this dream of me and my husband's parents, like we wanted four parents to live together with us, with our kids. So we were eight of us in the house. So it was my responsibility to give clean nutrition, clean water and food with good nutrition. And it became my responsibility. And I saw that most of the communities we lived in were buying tankers for more than 6 months in a year. And I tested this tanker quality, water quality. I was not happy. It always had some contaminants. Even the city piped water had a lot of chlorine in it. And chlorine is not great for our body if we consume it every day. So that made me think, why are we dependent on tankers? Why can't we think beyond tankers? And I started solving this problem by building a sustainable home for water in when we built a house in Hyderabad. So that was a learning that, you know, we could live without tankers, even in Hyderabad, which is a very tanker-prone city earlier, but now we get a lot of river water. Then I became conscious of why are we using so much of river water and wasting. I mean, we should use it only for drinking. But we are using river water today, even in our flushes and everywhere, what we call manjira water. And that's so irresponsible. So after building a sustainable home, then building a sustainable community where we live and not buying tankers even in the community as is in common tankers, then I started, talking about how to take this and spread word in different communities, because I saw a winning story in our house and in our community. How to make it widespread. Slowly, my design studio started converting into a water conservation studio where I learned a lot on ground, went to several workshops, understanding water and understanding city and the water. And slowly evolved into a water warrior today. But I was also just another citizen, doing my own thing as a designer, but I built a lot of awareness in the way, and I saw that how I could solve a problem, and said, why not look at least attempting the problem with the city, you know, and try to bring this sense of sustainable cities to our citizens, and, you know, grow this impact. Yeah, so that's how I've evolved to become a water warrior today, and a very proud founder of a social enterprise that works for water and puts back millions of liters into the ground sensibly. So I'm really proud and happy about how I have evolved and what I work for today, because when I look back at my life, you know, the last 10 years, I'm super proud that, you know, I think I can die very peacefully thinking that I have put something good on ground.
Yeah, what you're doing is so great with making sure everybody gets clean water and making sure that the rivers and lakes don't get treated horribly. It's so nice.
Thank you, Vedant. And I hope you got a lot of awareness too today, right? Water, how you can drink rainwater, how you can conserve your rivers, river water, and stuff.
Thank you. What are your hobbies?
My hobbies, I love to travel. I love to sketch a lot. And now I think I speak water, water, water. So anything that is water captures my attention. I keep listening a lot and, you know, to different stories for water across the country and across the world, and read up quite a bit on water, and also different ways to treat water quality and many things. Anything water is become my hobby today. But I really love sketching and traveling, and I love old temples. I'm really, really proud. I'm proud of our culture and heritage, you know, which is why my mission is also that every well we save, we want to make it interesting cultural and, you know, public spaces, so that the well doesn't go back to a garbage story, but helps promote our culture and heritage, because I'm really proud to have been born in India with so much diversity and such rich culture and heritage. So I've sort of made it part of our rainwater project too.
That's so nice. I love reading a lot too.
I mean, I can see that, Vedant. I mean, you know a lot of stuff, and yeah, and you're curious, Vedant, so you will read a lot more, and you hear people's stories. I'm sure you'll become this encyclopedia, many, many things you would have known in time, right?
And I'm also asking my mother to teach me how to sketch, and she's doing it. She's helping me.
Wonderful. She's an architect, so I'm sure she's already empowered that way. But yeah, what I'm proud of you is you really started so young. I mean, I really wished I was a water warrior maybe some 20, 25 years ago. I mean, I'm sure by now I would have, you know, done a lot more. Nevertheless, I'm happy that at least for the last 10 years I've been able to do some sensible work for water, because honestly, I don't see most of them focused on this very important basic resource for all of us. I mean, 3 days you don't have water and you can die. I mean, it's that bad. I mean, you really need water. And it surprises me sometimes at how even I was not thinking about water 15 years ago, the way I think about it today. Today, when I see wasted water, when I see, you know, people wasting water, it really hurts me to see, because I know how precious it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super precious. We can't live without it. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
It's such a pleasure, Vedant. And today is Mother's Day, so I wish you loads and loads of beautiful things ahead for you. I wish a very, very good life, and I'm so happy to have spoken to you today on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for all your listeners. And I hope there is something to take back for everybody. And they go back and look at water differently from today.
That's, I really learned a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vedam.
Dear listeners, follow my Facebook page, Curious Vedant, to get updates on my upcoming episodes. To listen at leisure on your phone and get notified about future episodes, subscribe by searching for Curious Vedant wherever you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can also listen to my show on CuriousVedant.com. Thank you for listening to Curious Vedant, and don't forget to rate and leave comments.